Timory Millington has been a passionate advocate for life as long as she can remember. Even with a busy speaking and radio schedule, she finds time to devote to her creative love of dance. Don Johnson is an author, speaker, and major motion picture film producer. Both hold master's degrees in theology, and together they cover the week's hottest stories from a Catholic worldview. From the Southern California studios of Relevant Radio, you're listening to Trending with Don and Timory.
Well, we just had the high holy day of American civil religion, didn't we, Timory? Bowl Sunday just passed.
Is it really still?
Well, I think if you consider that sports and consumerism are what America is all about, then yes, Super Bowl Sunday has become the high holy day. Although some interesting aspects of this Super Bowl made me think that perhaps times they are changing. I mean, the sports was fine. I don't actually usually watch the Super Bowl unless it's a good game. This happened to be a very good game, so I caught the last few minutes and, it was some good football. But the ads are actually what usually are more interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And so I went on YouTube later and watched a few of the ads. And yeah, it was interesting. It was a bit of an anti-consumerism, I found, in a lot of the ads.
A little more family-oriented.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Some of the ones I saw, like the one with the controversy over the speech by Martin Luther King,
yeah,
that one was definitely family-oriented. You have T-Mobile, the babies.
How was the? Tell me about the Martin Luther King one, because I saw it and I thought, well, it was service oriented. Okay,
I think
I get
it was
that.
Very
sure.
Make a change oriented, and I think that what they were doing, because they got a lot of flack for this apparently.
Rightly so.
Dodge Ram. I see where they're going, but what I got from it when I watched the ad, I heard there was controversy. I just watched it. I understand the frustration, but if you look at the ad, you have a speech talking many ways about making a change, right? And here is a family, and I felt like they were doing product placement. Instead of the story being focused on the Dodge Ram, the story was focused on make a change, and here's a family, and look at this joyful family. And then here, this happens to be selling trucks. I thought that was a great example of what's called branded entertainment, where instead of focusing on the truck itself, you somehow insert it into the story. I thought they did a good job of that. That being said, I see why people are frustrated, but it wasn't the people who are frustrated aren't the people who have the rights over their family story, over their family speeches.
I mean, the frustration with the Martin Luther King speech is they took it from his drum major speech, where the whole thing was about how you should not listen to advertisers. It was, in fact, let me quote you a little bit of the actual speech that they took this bit from. He says, you know, those advertising gentlemen of massive verbal persuasion, they have a way of saying things that kind of gets you into buying. In order to be a man of distinction, you must drink this whiskey. In order to make your neighbors envious, you must drive this type of car. In order to be lovely, you must wear this kind of lipstick or this kind of perfume. It was very much an anti-consumerism sermon that Martin Luther King preached 50 years ago last Sunday, and he concludes it with a call to service. That's the part they pulled. So he has this whole like anti-consumerism. Don't think that car is going to make you wise or make you friends or anything like that. You don't need that lipstick. What you need is to be a person of service. You don't need to be the drum major. You don't need to be leading the charge. You can just serve. They took the service part of it. The irony, of course, is they did it in selling a Dodge Ram, right?
But that was the issue. I think they were selling the joy of the family. Look at what was on screen. It wasn't about the Dodge Ram.
It was about the Dodge Ram, though.
That's branded entertainment.
Yeah, but that's still selling.
If you have
your favorite character driving through a movie in his Audi or whatever, you're still selling the Audi. You're still saying, if you want to be like this character, and this is what's irritating. Actually, I was irritated with it. I was irritated with a lot of these things, but here's why. It's that people realize now, I think we're so jaded and we've been such a consumeristic hellhole for a long time now, that people realize, you know what? That car's not going to get me the girlfriend. That car's not going to get me, wearing that lipstick is not going to find me true love, which is how they used to sell it. So in this Super Bowl, they realized, you know what? People are too jaded for that. And so you had a lot of like either a service-oriented commercials. So you had Matt Damon on there.
And the water.
With the water thing.
Right.
I think it was a $13 glass. You have to go on Amazon and pay $13 for the Stella glass, which, and frankly,
for
I like
chalice,
that beer.
The chalice.
Yeah, there's
chalice.
No beer in it.
I just finished watching Last Crusade, and so I was laughing after watching Last Crusade, the chalice. I'm like, that's chalice. Not the chalice of life, man.
No. So you can go on Amazon and pay $13 for this chalice, and apparently you're going to give people water. Are you actually going to get people water? Probably not, if you start to actually read into the details of some of this stuff. $3 goes somewhere. Where does it go to get people water? Not necessarily. But anyway, the whole point was, buy our glass and you'll be doing something good for humanity. So there was a lot of that. In fact, what was the other one I saw?
There was another T-Mobile one that talked about change and how change starts now, and it's showing all these different babies right. of all these different ethnicities, and there's this narrator talking about how you are equal, you will fight for equal pay, you will have open minds. And I thought that in a sense it was neat to see that reminder of we are all created with equal dignity, and look at the creation at that earliest moment, right, as babies. And look at how we, you know, people are saying that T-Mobile made a very political statement. I see in many ways, yes, it's focusing on some very controversial topics.
Well, it's in the future, but, that right. there will be, what was it? There will be things like no gender or whatever.
I didn't hear that part.
Well,
did it say
there
no
was,
gender?
There was, no, I don't know if it was no gender, but, you know, everybody will be able to love. There was a very, right. it was a right. very sort of leftist right. political message, but that in the future, you know, it'll be better for you.
They got it right in the sense that they're looking at babies, and it's a reminder for all of us of our common shared humanity. And almost that clean slate of you can be anything. That doesn't mean that equality means you're the same as a man or same as a woman if you have the opposite
sex. So here's the thing,
sex.
Though, Timory. Put in the service of products. So the other one I was thinking of was the Hyundai one, which was a weird commercial where you're going through the metal detectors to get into the Super Bowl. Like
oh,
all these people.
I saw that.
And then
that
they, and then if you have a Hyundai keychain, they notice they actually pulled you out of line, took you down this corridor into a weird room with a screen. And this woman shares how you personally, by buying that Hyundai, cured her of cancer or some nonsense. And then they come, and then that woman comes popping out of it. But it went with that whole theme of, if you buy our product, you're making the world a better place. Is that true? No. Okay, not likely. And I mean, I get that, you know, it's like BP after the oil spill, right? And suddenly BP is just every gallon of oil you buy is going to be great for the planet. You know, it's like we're the biggest environmentalists. All of it is just branding. I mean, I get
well, of course, it's the Super Bowl and they're so, paying and millions of dollars to have these commercials
on.
It's
interesting to me, though, that they have to go so far as to say, okay, we acknowledge that you buying our product isn't going to do nothing for you. Like in the past, why don't you just sell me a good product? You know, the toughest truck. And I appreciate that. If it actually is the toughest truck, if I actually can put the biggest payload in that thing, fine. Sell me that. Don't tell me that I'm curing people of cancer or something.
But that's the thing. That's branded entertainment. That's the thing.
It's
not. Well, branded entertainment is storytelling. It's not. And that's where I think the marketing industry for ads has changed. And I think that if we look at an ad as this is just an ad, which it is selling a product, the idea is that it's telling a story.
Sure,
there's a product being inserted in. And so I think that we have to change our mindset, because today people are marketing to millennials. They're looking at millennials are obsessed with story. And they're not just going to go, let's say, to a Marriott because it's any other hotel that anyone could go to. But they're connecting with a smaller mom and pop type of a bed and breakfast that have a neat story. And so they're trying to connect you to a story rather than just connecting.
Well, it's a different style of right. marketing. Still going for the same thing, though. They're still trying to evoke emotions that get you to buy their product.
Right. I like the Martin Luther King ad. I liked it. I thought it was good.
How is pulling a out of context quote against selling vehicles to sell vehicles?
They had permission from the Martin. Yes, they did. They even came out in statements.
Well, whoever has, I mean, the Coretta Scott King and all those people came out after, said, we are appalled by this. We don't like this. Whoever had permission, fine.
Well,
they
received permission from the Martin Luther King Jr. estate.
But I'm just saying, if you're okay with pulling messages out of context like that, I'm a big fan of Martin Luther King Jr.
Their focus wasn't on the car, though. And I get what you're saying, but their focus was on making a change. Here's this family.
They didn't spend $5 million to build up families in this country. They spent $5 million to sell cars. right? If you're not selling $5 million worth of cars, regardless of how many families they saved or the service or the evoking of patriotism or all of the other nonsense that the commercial people do. I mean, I'm a storyteller too. I understand the goal of making a video is to evoke emotions in you. I get it. That's what I do when I make movies too. I'm just saying that trying to say that you are serving humanity by buying a Hyundai is simply a bigger, fatter lie ultimately than it used to be in the past where we said, you know, get your 50 miles a gallon. Whether or not that was true, at least that I feel like, okay, at least you're not trying to sell me this nonsense about how I'm providing water to some. Those things drive me crazy. And I suspect a lot of millennials are just as jaded with that. Like, they'll become just as jaded as Gen Xers. We're the reason you don't get the straightforward, you know, wear this cologne and get the girl, because we know that that's nonsense. And so now they're trying to do this other thing. I think it's also, I mean, ultimately, if it's not true, it's not true. And buying a Dodge Ram is not going to build up your family.
And that wasn't the point,
though.
That
was the point.
Buying a Dodge, that's exactly it. It's a branded entertainment. The Dodge Ram was placed in the midst of it. It was never trying to say that buying a Dodge Ram is going to build up your family. It's just like, this is the car that they have.
Of course it is.
Done. I think that's where I think that it's being overthought. I think overall the idea commercials.
Would they have put like a bunch of Satanists dancing around a fire and then inserted a Dodge Ram in that? Still a story. No, because then you wouldn't buy their car, right? They're putting a positive story, one that they think you'll connect with, so that you, when you're driving down the street and see the, oh yeah, that made, all right, we'll have more on this when we come back.
From the Southern California studios of Relevant Radio, you're listening to Trending with Don and Timmery, applying timeless principles to today's hottest topics.
So in the midst of all of the controversial ads that I felt were rightly controversial, one that wasn't controversial at all, that was the first one that I saw that I was disgusted by, was a very mainstream ad by Amazon. Did you see this one about Siri losing her voice? And so they brought all of these celebrities in to provide the voice for Siri. And so you had like Anthony Hopkins reprising his Hannibal Lecter role, you know, and scaring people. And you had some other folks that I didn't really know. And then you had, I have not heard one thing about this ad. This is what irritates me. You had Rebel Wilson naked in a tub with some bubbles, who was asked about something, travel directions or something. And I'm hesitant to say this over the air, but you're just going to have to flow with me, because this was, I've heard zero about this. She started talking about how, oh, you're hot and you're sweaty and you're in the bush. And she went on and on about how you find yourself in the bush. And they kept going on and on with this dirty talk. And yeah. I don't think I need to explain.
Right?
But this is was so irritating. This is mainstream. Kids are watching and this has not been on of the controversial.
No one's talked about
this. And I thought it was one of the dirtiest ads I'd seen because it was so mainstream. Like, really? Amazon? Like, Jeff Bezos was on there. He FaceTime for Jeff Bezos. And we've got some serious, explicit sexual innuendo going on.
I mean, the good news is that that goes over the kids' heads, but
I doubt that it does.
Younger kids, that's going to go over their heads. But either way, people know that this is a family time. Families are together. Everyone's around the TV. It's not being monitored whether this little kid's in front of the screen right now. And so I think that that's where there's that responsibility with the halftime show, with what's being said in the commercials, that there's a responsibility for kids who will be around.
Which I feel like, and they kind of have, you know, we used to have all the GoDaddy commercials, and there was a lot of like stuff we didn't want to watch. And I sort of feel like they tamed some of that down, and the halftime shows have been cleaner the last few years.
I don't know. Was anyone else nervous that JT was performing again? The repeat? Was it 2004, 2006?
Yeah,
the Janet Jackson?
Yeah.
Get her shirt off.
Anyway, I was irritated that's where we've come to, where that didn't even like raise a, you know, no one even's like
Well, this is what I think is interesting about the commercials. There were so many commercials, I think, somewhat change-oriented. Whether or not they were effective, again, is another question. But it shows the fact that, I don't know if this is part of a response to what's happening with the Me Too movement and how Hollywood's responding, but there was this attitude of you can make a change. Whether or not they were good examples, that's debatable, but there's this idea that was being pushed forward that you can do something. And I think that that is something right now that a lot of people are waking up to the idea of, people who are maybe asleep, and after seeing really the expose of, hey, look at all these people who have been sexually abused,
I get
you
that,
can do
Tamara.
Something.
I get that, but what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to buy the Stella chalice or the Jeep or the whatever. I mean, that.
I think this is the response, though. Them trying in some way not to be as sex positive as they usually are.
Fair enough. Yeah. Right. Instead of buying the glass for $13 and having Stella Artois pocket all of that money and make you feel better, or buy a Hyundai and have Hyundai do something, why don't you actually do something, is all I'm saying. Like, you could actually find a way to serve, actually do what Martin Luther King Jr. said to do in his sermon. Don't buy the stuff and put money in somebody else's pocket. Actually go and serve. That would be a good response,
right?
I think.
No, like Catholic Comes Home type of ad. Oh, man, wouldn't that be awesome to put an ad in like that?
Yeah.
I think those things would be great. I mean, we've seen pro-life ads in the past. Scientology.
Did you see the Scientology
ad?
Oh,
let's
my goodness.
Let's learn about
goodness.
Scientology.
Yes.
So, come on, Catholics. Let's get a Catholic ad up there. We've had some pro-life ones. Let's get a Catholics Come Home ad.
What cracked me up about the Scientology one, again, you know, service and Scientology. So one of the reasons Scientology, in fact, probably the only reason Scientology is a thing, is that they're actually really good at going out and serving people. Like, that's how people get into their church, is that, you know, they go and help you with your dyslexia or whatever it is they do. They go in and serve, and people are attracted by that, and that's what we should be doing as Catholics. What's crazy about the Scientology thing, of course, is that the ad was like, aren't you curious? Don't you want to know? And if I was a Scientologist, that's the last thing I would be putting out there. I would be putting out how we help you with stuff. Because if you actually want to go into a Scientologist station or whatever, and
you can't.
Well, one thing you can, but if you, let's say you want to know, all right, start forking over some money, a lot of money, and by the time you get to level 8 or 10 or 12 or whatever it is, we'll start to explain our actual theology to you, what we believe. And we'll start to explain that we believe that Xenu, the intergalactic warrior, arrived here from a different galaxy millions of years ago and deposited people in a volcano. And this was all written by L. Ron Hubbard, a science fiction writer, by the way, in the mid-20th century. It's all just so much nonsense that I was like, wow, I was sort of shocked that they would even ask people to explore that, because they hide it. I mean, they hide what they actually believe. You have to pay all that money. So
it was a moment
was interesting.
Of curious much? Come and see. Well, and what all was right. interesting about the Scientology ad, that was, it copied one of my favorite ads probably for about 6 or 7 years ago, when you had Google and they typed in like some cutesy, you're watching as they type in one letter at a time, and they're doing it, saying stuff like a cutesy, I love you, and so forth. But everyone was captivated as you saw one letter at a time being put in there. And so it's funny to see years later, they were kind of taking that similar look of the ad that aired on the Super Bowl years ago.
Right. Before we leave all of the consumerism, one more quick story. Doritos, apparently, and I don't think this was an ad, but yesterday it announced, or recently it announced, that it would be changing their chips, or at least making another brand of chips that would appeal more to women. And the new Lady Doritos, as the internet started calling them, apparently would be, I don't know, a little less dirty, I guess. And I'm not sure what all they were going to do. I think
dirty?
A little less, like, sticky. You
oh,
know
less
how,
dirty.
Like Doritos are very, you know, you get all that orange stuff, I guess,
yes.
over you. And so I think they were going to have less of that. And anyway, I there was outrage and fury over this, that they would.
It's sexist.
That they would consider making a chip for women. How dare you make a chip for women? How dare you even mention women? I just, on the way in here, Timmy, I was literally following a car down Garden Grove Boulevard right here, and it said, in the future there will be no gender. That was the big sticker in the back window, and I'm like, do you honestly believe that? And what does that even mean? And I couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman driving. I didn't get it, but I just thought, and if you're a woman, I feel really, really bad, because here's who gets the brunt of this, as we always talk about. And I feel like even with the Doritos thing, as stupid as all of this is, you know who gets the silliness about this? Women. Women who are opposed to this. First of all, why are you so adamant that women must be just as slobby and, you know, like, I feel like what you're trying to do is make the eating experience of your chips a little less slobby for women, and because men don't care. They're just going to get dirty and get orange stuff all over their face. And the women are like, no, we can be just as slobby as men. I feel like that's always the case.
Well, I think what's funny, I'll never forget, years ago, I was speaking at an all-women's event. It was a mother-daughter tea. And I was sitting at the front table, and the mom's sitting there, and they have these beautiful tablecloths. The women come in these beautiful dresses. A lot of them bought new dresses, right? They have, some of them are even wearing hats, and here's all of this fine china. There are these metal tongs that you can pick up the cookies and the different pastries with. And this woman at the table, I'm about to speak, and she's trying to pick up this little crumpet or something and put it on her plate. And she's having a hard time picking it up. And after probably about 30 seconds of trying to pick up this cookie, she sets down the tongs, looks at the whole table, apologizes, picks the cookie up, bright red in the face, like a tomato, sets it down on her little plate, and then just sets her hands, folds them in her lap, and just sits there looking at her cookie, totally embarrassed. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, the guys are getting together today while the ladies are away. What are they eating? Finger foods. Yeah, they're probably wearing gym shorts. They didn't buy a new outfit for the other guys to see. They're probably playing sports or doing something, you know. And I was just laughing, the difference between men and women. Like, the advertising community knows this. Even research communities know this. Even the way that drugs have an impact on our body, not just based on weight and size, but based on the male-female brain and how the brain responds to certain types of sleeping medications. You know, it's just so interesting when people try to obliterate these lines, how funny it is, because it backfires in the long run. It really, truly backfires. And it makes me think of a really awesome piece that came out this last week, and we'll probably continue talking about this, of Bishop Chaput. Bishop Chaput was recently speaking in Arizona at an all-men's leadership conference, and he had basically an excellent response to the Me Too campaign without specifically citing it. And he talks about how essentially, you know, it's not going to be feminist lectures or mass media man-shaming or any type of reward show with public statements that's going to change how men are interacting. It's not going, if anything, it'll maybe, he says, it'll breed nominal repentance and inner resentment. But he said what a man really needs is he needs a change of heart for the better. And he talks about how transforming a man means giving meaning to his life, and how that's where you'll see a change in men. And he talks about new men in this awesome piece.
Timmery and Don will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E and at Don Johnson Media. This is Trending with Don and Timmery on Relevant Radio. To learn more about Don Johnson or Timmery Millington, or to book either of them to speak, visit donjohnsonministries.org or timmery.com. And be sure to share and rate the podcast of the show on iTunes.
This week, Archbishop Chaput was speaking at an all-men's leadership conference in Arizona, and he gave a fantastic speech to men, encouraging men. And I think that we are at a turning point right now where we've seen so much content that is pro-woman that we've not done enough lately to develop and encourage men. And this is something that Archbishop Chaput has done incredibly well. And, you know, without specifically mentioning the Me Too campaign, he addresses it and how, you know, basically man shaming isn't going to change anything, but giving that purpose and meaning behind life will drive men forward with the fighting spirit that is essentially ingrained in men.
We've talked about this before, just in interpersonally, how men don't generally react well to women sort of nagging them and hectoring them and lecturing them. It just doesn't generally work, especially, I just might throw this as a little side note, especially when women who are doing that consistently try to downplay the distinctives of male and female, right? Like, all of that doesn't work well either. If you're going to deny femininity and then call men to be better men, I mean, that doesn't follow either. But Archbishop Chaput, you're right, had a wonderful talk, and he says that we need to relearn our history a little bit. And he goes back to Europe and the knights, and he talks about how knighthood in medieval Europe began as a profession of heavily armed male thugs, men that were obsessed with vanity, violence, and rape. And what changed all that was the church. It took a while. It took a few centuries, but the church came in and provided the meaning and purpose to sort of redirect some of those instincts that men have. Yeah, men sort of do have that fighting instinct, that protective instinct. That now, do they have an instinct to be violent and rape? No, I don't think so. But if you let some of the sort of natural male, especially in our fallen state, if you unleash that without the moderating, holy-making influence of the church and holy women, by the way, that can go wrong. But when you direct it to the right sort of things, as he notes, C.S. Lewis called Christianity actually a fighting religion. When you direct it towards fighting the true fight, fighting a fight for holiness and building up families and building up society, then men can become pretty spectacular beings, actually.
Absolutely. Well, and this is where he's pointing to the example of the Knights Templar and how they went from this thug-like rape type of atmosphere to that, like you said, redirecting Don. And what happened is here were all of a sudden men who wanted to live a life of prayer, a life of poverty, a life of obedience. And so what happened, therefore, as a result of this exemplary masculinity, these men, because of their virtuosity, essentially, were asked by the Patriarch of Jerusalem to patrol the roads and the holy cities and all of these different holy sites. And what happened is this turned into becoming one of the most organized and impressive groups of people in European history in many ways. And they were leaders because they took on a sense of responsibility. And this is where we see the comparison. You know, you have Navy SEALs and this desire to be a SEAL, desire to be a Marine and to serve the country. People see purpose behind that. The problem is when people, I should say men, seek just the ruggedness of it, of this competition. And I was just talking to someone this week, and they were talking about how within the SEALs, while the idea of joining the SEALs is something that is so wonderful, right? This honor to serve, but in reality, sometimes you see more so an attitude of competition and self-betterment divorced from virtue. And so when you have rugged masculinity lacking virtue, that's when we have the Weinsteins among other people. But when you bring the virtuous element of the Knights Templar, of many of our armed forces that are fighting, when you bring that element, you end up seeing an exemplary man who truly does change the culture around him.
Yeah, it's not just the fighting itself that is the thing. You have to have an ultimate meaning beyond that. You have to be able to give yourself away to something more. And I do think that is a little bit of an issue in our culture where people are like, well, men want to fight, and so they got the video games. But the video game is not actually something beyond yourself. If you're just doing it for your own personal record, or if you're just joining the armed forces so that you can be, the best there is or whatever, that's not going to ultimately provide the meaning that we're talking about here. This is about giving yourself to a cause that is above and beyond you and has, I might add, an ultimate purpose. And, you know, sort of to reference back to some of the stuff we talked about earlier in the show, I do think that that's the advertisers are trying to touch in, you know, they're trying to grab into that. Yeah, you want to be part of something bigger, you know, providing water or serving or doing all of this stuff. And again, my issue is, while they haven't actually provided the ultimate meaning, This is where Archbishop Chaput comes in and says it's the church. Ultimately, it's God that's got to provide that ultimate meaning. Like, you're not going to find that in temporal things. You know, we can do our best, and I think we are trying to, you know, sort of scavenge around and find something we can do, or we've given up on it. Men especially. I mean, middle-aged men, the suicide rate among middle-aged men is skyrocketing, and it's ultimately a crisis of meaning in our culture that we don't have that overarching thing to give ourselves to. And we have to realize that's only going to come from God. That's only going to come from Jesus. Right. That has to be about giving yourself away to an eternal cause. And when you do that, all the rest of the stuff, I think, will fall into place.
Well, and how about this part? Archbishop Chaput ended up citing back to C.S. Lewis when he described Christianity as a fighting religion. This is something that I don't think just men embrace, but I think all people, like, we forget that we are in the midst of a spiritual warfare. And that it is not just the battle here of how we're struggling financially, what war is physically being fought, but a spiritual warfare. You know, we talked about the warfare of principalities and powers of, you know, the fallen angels. But when we think about this, I always think about the monks. And I think about how the monks, it used to always be that when they'd pray, they'd either pray, and to this day, many of them do in the different orders, in a U or in two straight lines facing each other. And the idea was, and continues to be, is that as they're singing the Psalms, so any priest is required to pray the Liturgy of the Hours, also known as the Divine Office, throughout the day. So you, six times a day, you are praying these different prayers, morning, noon, and night, and in between. But as they pray, they chant back and forth. The one takes one stanza and then the next. And it's actually not just, oh, this sounds nice and you also get a break for your voice, but it's that you are challenging the other men, the other prayers, the other warriors to a spiritual battle, and that these Psalms are fortifying us. And I think that if we were to embrace these Psalms and really truly read them and see the element of spiritual and physical warfare as a part of it, I think that that really becomes more attractive. And that's where men see that they're called to a spiritual warfare that, as Archbishop Chaput talked about, embraces justice. It embraces courage. And that this is fundamental to the masculine Christian fighting spirit.
Yeah, not only does it, I think, provide that meaning, but it also makes sense of so much of life, right? Like, I think the culture tells us that your goal is to be as comfortable as possible, to get as much pleasure as possible, to have the least amount of pain as possible. Those are sort of what the culture puts on us. It says, if you don't have that stuff, you're not successful. And when you have all that stuff, that you're going to be happy. And we realize, on one hand, we realize, I think, at some level, that that stuff doesn't actually provide us happiness. But on the other hand, where most of us are is that we're chasing after that, and something happens and we have pain and we have discomfort and we don't have as much money as we need and all of the stuff, and we have all of these troubles in life. And not only do we have all these troubles in life, but we don't have an overarching purpose to fight towards. And we're like, well, what's the point of all this? Whereas this model, where this is a spiritual war, where you're not actually, God didn't actually put you here to be comfortable. God didn't put you here to get as much pleasure as possible, to get the biggest TV possible, all that stuff. That's not your point. Your point is to get to heaven, and that requires a battle. And as with any battle, that's going to require some pain and some sacrifice and some suffering. And I think when men understand that, especially, I think all people, but when men get that, it's like, oh. You mean it's okay that I'm not comfortable right now, and I can fight through it, and I wasn't expected to be, and but right. Ultimately, right? It transforms the way you view day-to-day circumstances. It also gives you purpose and meaning, like, all right, well, if I am not supposed to be comfortable, but I'm supposed to be a fighter, what am I fighting for? Well, your family, to get them to heaven, get yourself to heaven, become virtuous, all of these things. And it really is a total change of perspective, but it's one that's, I think, very often lost, you know, right. In our culture.
Well, and I look at this, and I say, men, here's a challenge that you are looking for. Here's the meaning that you are looking for. Here's your opportunity to prove your worth, to prove that you are something. Who you are matters. And here's the opportunity to see that there is a purpose higher than you maybe perceive within your own comfort, right? I think about Pope Benedict, right? And I think about Pope Benedict the 16th and a quote that I think so many of us will never forget. And he said, "The world offers you comfort, You were not made for comfort. You were made for greatness. And it's a reminder that even in our day-to-day, like, we can do more. There gets to a point where we're used to doing the same thing, and we might be doing great work, but we can do more. And I think that this is part of what is so excellent about the Catholic lifestyle. And as we're getting ready to enter into Lent, we have the opportunity to just embrace this idea that this Lent, I'm not going to just do something for 40 days. I'm going to make changes in my life, spiritual practices, good elements of responsibility and stewardship toward others that will change the culture around me.
Timmery and Dawn will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. And at Dawn Johnson Media. From the Southern California studios of Relevant Radio, you're listening to Trending with Dawn and Timmery, applying timeless principles to today's hottest topics.
As we continue our discussion about men and this awesome calling by Archbishop Chaput about men, I keep thinking about our sponsors here for Trending, which are Radiant and Valiant Magazine. Valiant Magazine is an excellent opportunity to look at this higher calling that men have in the culture, in their prayer life. And so I really want to encourage all of our listeners to check out this excellent magazine for young men. It is available by our Sunday Visitor. You can find it at valiant.osv.com, or you can find Radiant for Women at radiant.osv.com, again published by our Sunday Visitor.
We have been talking about a speech that Archbishop Chaput gave, and some closing points that he made I thought were very good. He talked about the Knights Templar and how they joined not to escape the world, but to transform it, to convert the world by demanding everything a man had, every drop of his energy, love, talent, and intelligence, in service to a mission bigger and more important than any individual ego or appetite. What a great paragraph. But I love not only the part about just a mission bigger than ourselves, but ultimately it's to convert the world. Mm-hmm. And again, I keep coming back to, you're not made for here and now ultimately. That's why it's not to be comfortable, right? We're to get to heaven, and we're to get our families to heaven. And he transitions then talking about men and women and families and how we shouldn't give in to some of the cultural definitions. He talks about Christian equality and how it's not based on political ideology, but in the reality of the differences and mutual dependencies of real men and women. As creatures, we're designed to need each other, not replicate each other. And that's exactly
this
right.
Awesome, I mean, piece. So, like, just read so it true. Again. We're designed to need each other, not to replicate each other. And This is what you're seeing today as people are getting all upset over the recent Super Bowl Doritos for Women commercial. And it breaks my heart because people are saying we have more to do for the fight over equality. But in reality, we have more to do in understanding that God created us male and female, and only in respecting those differences will we become better women, better men, and that makes a huge difference, you know. And I think that in that recognition, in Archbishop Chaput reminding men that you may think in a different way from a woman, you may interact in a different way. That means that you cannot treat a woman as another one of the guys. And ladies, you can't treat a man as if he's going to behave on the same level as a woman. Not saying that you expect less from him, but you understand he is another human being that is born biologically a male. But that being said, he is proving his masculinity. And there actually is a point at one point in here where Archbishop Chaput talks about how anyone is born biologically a male, but you have the ability to essentially prove and grow and learn your masculinity, and how learning your masculinity and being mentored in it is something that's so important. And I mean, maybe you're someone who has a young son. He needs multiple examples of masculinity around him. Actually, one of my friends on social media this week posted a picture of her little boy and posted a picture of her little boy with a bunch of her different brothers, different ages in life and family members. And part of the quote that she put up with it was that boys need examples of men. They need examples of young boys becoming men so that they can learn to see the transition that a man makes through the different parts of his life. Otherwise, that's why some men choose to be involved in gangs and other different types of behavior. They're trying to prove that they're maturing. They're trying to prove that they're changing. And having those role models of a good transition through life are so important.
Yeah, those role models, Archbishop Chaput goes on to talk about some of them and gives some principles to follow. Some that you'd think would be pretty common sense, but good reminders. Don't cheat on your wife. Don't put yourself in a situation where the idea would even occur to you, he said. Don't mislead and abuse women and damage your own dignity as a man by sleeping around before marriage. And if you're already doing that or did that, or toying with the idea of doing it, stop it now and get to confession. Just stop it. Stop it and go to confession. But I like the perspective of when you're thinking about doing those things, If you don't have a young son, and I have one, but just assume that you have one, right? Or assume that there's some young boy looking at you and just ask yourself, do I want that boy to emulate me? And if that boy does emulate me, is that going to be a good thing in the way I treat women, in the way I treat other people around him? And if we just, I think if we had that principle as men around us, and maybe I'm wrong because I know there's a lot of bad examples, but man, we gotta think about that generation coming up, because like you said, they're becoming who they see, and so we have to be better at, you know, sticking with their mothers, for example.
Yeah, good male role models. And one of the notes, and I think that this is a great opportunity to think about as well, is Archbishop Chaput talks about how men were driven with this attractiveness to becoming a Capuchin or a Jesuit or these different religious orders. And he talks about, you know, one of which I'm a member of, you know, this idea. And he talks about how when men have flocked to these different priestly orders, it's because they recognize, I'm going to quote him here, that they weren't escaping the world, but going to transform it. And he says, to convert the world by demanding everything a man had, every drop of his energy, love, talent, and intelligence, in service to a mission bigger and more important than any individual ego or appetite.
You know, it's interesting that he thinks that that's going to be attractive, and he's right about that, that you would demand everything that a man has. It's interesting, in some circles within Christianity, the idea is that, well, we don't demand, that we don't want to put up anything that would be demanding, especially of men. And we wonder why there's so few men in the church and why there's so few men teaching our youngsters. Maybe it's because we haven't demanded enough of them, or the way that we've demanded it has been wrong. But I think largely, frankly, a lot of it in American Christianity, we have sort of tried to soft sell it or made it maybe more appealing to women perhaps or something. But I don't think we've had this great call within the church in America for men to just give up everything and we're going to demand this of you. Because actually, men respond pretty well to that sort of thing.
You know, and I keep coming back to this conversation that I mentioned earlier, this idea of men are looking for this ruggedness. They like the ruggedness, right? But that ruggedness divorced from virtue is very problematic. And you look at things like going and volunteering with a bunch of kids for Sunday school. That seems very soft. It doesn't seem rugged. Right? But when you bring virtue in and see, like, the ruggedness is that I'm actually offering the sacrifice up on a Sunday. And at least for me, I personally don't enjoy spending a long period of time with young children. I volunteered for a vacation Bible school once, and my mom made me keep going back when I said, I'm not going back. Like, I get it. That is a sacrifice in and of itself, you know?
Yes.
And I think that seeing that, again, that ruggedness with virtue is so important to the development of being a man.
Some good news out of Hollywood. Maybe let's hit this quick while we're on the subject of sexual morality and what true masculinity is. Hopefully you realize that true masculinity is not found in stories like 50 Shades.
Which is
unbelievable. Somebody at a church we used to go to actually offered my wife, they were handing it around church. Timber, can you imagine?
I will just say this. I have lost a tremendous amount of respect for people in my life who I know have read and gone to see these movies. Like, I'm sorry, I have just lost
respect for them. Line there somewhere.
There's a line.
She wasn't even familiar with it. She's like, she brought the book home. And I'm like, honey, since when do we bring porn? Like, she literally didn't. She's like, I don't know, somebody get. I'm like, no. Yeah, that's, you know, I'm not generally one to, you know, tell my wife what to read. She was literally, she did not know, you know, what it was about. And she's like, people have been, I'm like, no, I don't think
you don't want to know those colors.
No, you don't know. Anyway, the Me Too movement apparently has had some effect. You know, I was a little bit shocked at the Grammys, where the Me Too movement didn't seem to have any effect on some of the dancers. Perhaps now it is starting. Some of these movies that have been in production, especially those that were picked up actually around that time when 50 Shades became popular, everybody's like, oh, we need the erotica. Basically, we need to put out our own mainstream porn. And some of those now are getting red lighted rather than green lighted. So hopefully.
Isn't it interesting?
Hopefully.
Well, and they're saying that basically 50 Shades of Grey may be the end of somewhat of an era, that this is the, you know, the end of it for a while. Because, I mean, you see even the indie companies, which have never been skittish about covering things, are now all of a sudden being a little skittish. You've seen, you know, A Star Is Born, a remake by Warner Brothers, has been morphed from steamy to something far more chaste, as some people are saying. You see Hugh Hefner in the movie that was being made for him, that was totally red lighted. You have seen James Franco, and he was doing producing a stripper positive piece that is now, well, it's being claimed to be in development rather than working on it as much as it had been. But I could just go through naming list after list. Some independent producers who had an easy time funding some of their films before who aren't. You have even the story of Chippendales, which was coming out, the first all-women strip club, essentially, or four-women strip club. Even that is hard, having a difficult time with funding and being in the process. So I think that we're seeing there is a sense of conscience taking place, even if it is just, and this is happening right now, the different agents are saying, hey, just ease up on any sexual oriented parts right now for your reputation.
Yeah, well, hey, we'll take it. I think that's good. Hopefully that continues and they start to see the basis of some of the revulsion we've had. All right, don't forget to go to timmery.com and invite Timmery to speak. I know we've got some gigs coming up, and Don Johnson at Ministries as well. We're very close to getting the movie ready for release this summer, so we'll keep you updated on that, and we will see you next time.
From the studios of Relevant Radio, this has been Trending with Don and Timmery. Trending. To learn more about Don Johnson or Timmery Millington, or to book either of them to speak, visit donjohnsonministries.org or timmery.com. And be sure to share and rate the podcast of the show on iTunes.